hold on to your fascinators and huddle up to the closest punter. Today has been the coldest Melbourne Cup in 11 years, and I'm broadcasting out of Melbourne. I can really vouch for that. Oh yeah, I've got a very thick jumper on right now. So, how did you go? Did you clean up in the office sweeps? Perhaps you had trouble getting to Flemington due to some traffic delays, like a Manus protest on the train tracks. We'll be getting to that shortly. ABC Grandstand and Offsiders host Jared Waitley is here to talk racing with me. Welcome to RN Drive.
Patricia, thank you.
Should we be surprised by this result?
Not by Lloyd Williams winning it again. He's won it for the sixth time. He's become such a figure in the modern history of the race. It owes clearly to obsession. It owes to expertise, and it obviously owes to wealth as well. The horse, well, he had six of them. Rekindling proves the best of them. He's a three-year-old in the Northern Hemisphere, which is a new way to win the Cup, which I think is fascinating. And the real story of the race is in the family connection. The trainer of the winner and the runner-up, Aidan O'Brien, is the world's greatest trainer. And he's been picked by his son, a 24-year-old, who's beaten him not only in this Melbourne Cup, but to winning the great race full stop. So I think that will be the part of the story that resonates through the years.
Yeah, and it was jockey Corey Brown's second time winning the Cup, and as you've mentioned, Lloyd Williams' sixth. What did they have to say after the race?
Well, Corey Brown was thrilled, as any jockey is in that moment, and he knows the feeling as 9 years ago. He had it on Shocking, and he rode Rekindling absolutely superbly. And then I think the jockey sort of always has that nice touch of knowing that it owes largely to those who have prepared the horse. He'd never ridden it before. In fact, it hadn't had the preparatory run in Australia, as has become the recent trend. So it breaks the sequence that dates back to Vintage Crop 24 years ago. So, yeah, it's the pinnacle for a jockey, and to have achieved that twice is, it almost guarantees sort of Hall of Fame status.
I don't mean to dwell on the weather, but I think we have to.
Yes.
Freezing!
It was. The morning was shocking in particular. The sun did break through by the time of the race, but yes, it was a chilly old afternoon in Melbourne. That's how it's been here for months, hasn't it? So
yeah.
I think it's supposed to break from here on, and by Saturday, the last day of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, it's supposed to be 30 degrees. So we'll go from shivering to sweltering in a matter of days in that very Melbourne way.
Yeah, that's how we roll here. It wasn't all smooth sailing today. Earlier on in the day, Thoroughbred Regal Monarch had a shocking fall. Do we know how that ended up?
Really nasty fall, and Joe Moreira, who's currently the best jockey in the world, rides in Hong Kong, and he'd come out and he had a heavy fall and was not able to take his ride in the race on Thomas Hobson in the Cup, so he was ruled out of rides for the rest of the day, and Regal Monarch was initially behind the screens, which is always a sickening sight, but he was able to walk onto the horse ambulance, but quite clearly he suffered a serious injury, and it's very unclear what his fate will be, having been taken to the Werribee Vet Clinic.
And there was some other sort of controversy today too. Activists made their way up onto a crane just after midday, and refugee rights protesters also parked a car across train tracks leading to Flemington Racecourse. How much of a disruption did that cause?
Well, the train in particular is sort of the only way in or out other than driving in Flemington. Once you're on the train, you're sort of captive to that. So, yes, we sort of got word of substantial delays, and people who are on the trains are stuck there, and the train stopped running for that period of time. So that's hugely disruptive for those who are trying to get there. And that was sort of at the critical moment, as those who were coming specifically for the Cup would have very much been commuters at that stage. So they obviously got caught up in that. The protest on track wasn't quite as visible. I saw that reported and captured on the television coverage as it happened. But that didn't sort of spread across the course like news of the trains did.
No. And crowd numbers, what, 90,000, I think? Is that kind of standard?
It's a really good crowd, because at the moment the main members' grandstand was knocked down at the end of last year's Melbourne Cup Carnival and is halfway through being rebuilt. So that's a serious part of the course, which is out of action. So people have been dispersed in various directions. So it's it's down on recent years, but I thought it was a tremendous crowd. It was quite difficult to get around for all the reasons that you would imagine, given there's a construction site right in the middle of the course, but it is on schedule to be open for next year, and I can imagine we'll be back over 100,000, and from the illustrations of it, it will be splendid and spectacular and a great addition to Flemington.
You're all about the horses and the jockeys and the magic, yeah. But hey, I just have to ask you, did you notice any of the fashions on the field?
Oh, I had a spanking new suit, Patricia. Thanks for asking. I dressed specifically for the day. No, I saw very little of the overall fashions. The weather played a role. It really was a day for overcoats.
You know so what? Most of the women still wear the same outfits they planned, I find.
Yeah, although I think if you'd thought about it, and the forecast was exactly for what we've got, you could see a lot of coats from the broadcast box anyway, and perhaps the high fashion can wait till later in the week.
Oh, yeah, don't freeze. Hey, Jared, thanks so much for coming on.
No, you're welcome.
Jared Waitley there. That's he's from ABC Grandstand, of course, and he's the Offsiders host as well.